Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for an additional 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.
Today on Weather Geeks, we dive into the world where extreme weather is most dangerous to the game. Video games continue to push the bounds of depicting accurate atmospheric physics in virtual worlds. But how are these game engines built? How is weather recreated in a virtual world? We'll get the answers from Gabriel Sassone and Jacques Kerner from Avalanche Studios, which recently released Just Cause 4, a game where weather is not only a main character, but a core element of the story and how you play. The experience is amazing, the weather is realistic, and the process to get there is fascinating. I'm Dr. Marshall Shepard from the University of Georgia, and this is the Weather Geek Podcast. Guys, thank you for joining us on the podcast today.
Thank you very much for having us.
Gabriel, I want to start with you. Just tell us a little bit about what you all do at Avalanche, and then after Gabriel gives his answer, Jacques, you can jump in.
To make a video game, there's plenty of people involved in very different areas. And for example, we are in the New York studio where 100 people, around 105. And I personally specialize as a rendering programmer. And it means that I work on the visuals of the game. And we try to use much more much realistic visuals that we can. And that's why we end up like studying a lot of phenomena that are around that are fascinating, including weather.
So. Yeah, no, and as a meteorologist, I have had a chance to look at this Just Cause 4, and we're going to dive into the meteorology and sort of graphics and programming and coding of this because I think Weather Geeks listeners will be fascinated. How about you, Jacques? What's your role in the company?
Right, so I'm a physics engineer. I lead a little team of me and three other guys, and we specialize in the physics of the video game and vehicles as well. Anything that has to do with collision or the movement of things in game, especially inanimate objects, is what my team is in charge of.
Yeah, and Weather Geeks listeners, again, we're going to dive into this. There are very realistic tornadoes and sandstorms, rainstorms, and it's not just background to the game, Just Cause 4. As you'll hear along the next 40 minutes or so, weather is a central part of this game. And tell us about Just Cause 4. Give us a little background on what the game is, what the goal is, and why weather is so important.
Just Cause 4 is what we call an open world action adventure game, but the open world is very important. It's much less linear than other games, and you can go, basically you have an entire world that's open to you, and you can go wherever you want and explore the space. And
So is this very similar to the Minecraft concept in some ways?
It's the same in the sense of it looks very different than Minecraft.
Oh, absolutely.
But
it does.
It's the same in the sense you can go wherever you want and take on whatever activity you want in the world. Yes.
Yeah, but no, it's the graphics sort of presentation between Minecraft and Just Cause 4 are very different. Let me just emphasize that. I have a son that's a gamer, so I'm very familiar with Minecraft. And in fact, I've even dabbled with some research at my university on how to use Minecraft to teach about weather and climate. But I think Just Cause 4 has taken weather in a video game to a different level. Why was it so important to add weather into the Just Cause franchise?
Yeah, so it's we're realistic video game, and as open world, we try to make the world as beautiful as possible. But it used to be beautiful in a scenery sense, and we decided to bring it to the next level and bring all the the dynamics of the real world in that as well. And weather is an aspect of that.
Yeah, and
extreme weather is really such a spectacle of nature that we really wanted to push in that direction, and also for the spectacle of it, but also to push the limits of our engine to the maximum.
Yeah, and it sounds like you wanted to jump in with something else there.
Yeah, because you know, we have our main character Rico Rodriguez that is very, very powerful, and we sensed that we wanted to give him a new challenge that was not only like other characters but also like environmental. So it was really important to have something new on the plate, and thanks to, especially for the physics, I have to say, because Jacques and his team, they made an amazing job. They pushed to have like something that is much more than just like other characters. So the idea of the extreme weather came out, and we took a lot of references around South America and Patagonia, and we tried to conglomerate everything together in a place with all the extreme weather. But it's kind of like the proper rival to Rico, so that's why it was really important to have this.
Yeah, it's amazing. Just how much time and people and resources are involved in making this happen. I mean, it's just amazing the level of graphic detail, the physics and fidelity of the meteorology and weather. I mean, as a meteorologist, I had a chance to review it, and I was stunned by some of the accuracy. So, you know, how much is involved in making it happen?
Well, first of all, thank you. But it's a project like this is a project that lasts for like 3 years, it involves like 100 people. So there's very different departments. We have like art, design, concept art that's created the visuals. So it's a very long process. We start with a vision, and then we arrive to define what is really feasible and what is not feasible. So we have to try many times to do the tornado in different ways, and then how to have the wind in the world and not have the wind in the world. So it's a very long process. Many people, they don't realize, of course, because you don't know if you don't work in the area, that it's a very long to make a very big process to make a video game. So it's fascinating process, and you learn so much all the time. It's really beautiful. But yeah, again, 100 people for 3 years working every day to create something like this. So
yeah, now, it's actually if you look at the credits of a Pixar movie, it goes on and on and on.
It's right.
It's thousands of people that worked on this project for several years, and it's gone in 2.5 hours. So we offer, you know, at least 40 hours of gameplay, or if not more. So.
Yeah, no, it's that's what I thought. Now, and what kind of platforms can you play Just Cause 4 on?
So it's on PC, on Xbox One, and on PS4.
Okay, which are all, as someone who has an 11-year-old son, I'm familiar with all of those platforms. Let's kind of circle back now to the weather. What are some of the types of extreme weather that a player has to contend with in the game?
Right, so we divided the world into 4 different biomes so that there would be as much diversity in the scenery as possible. And so for each of those biomes, we tried to find an associated extreme weather event. So in the grasslands, we had the tornado. In the rainforest biome, we have a tropical storm with lightning. In the alpine biome, a blizzard, and in the desert we have a sandstorm.
Yeah, no, I saw the sandstorm. I thought in one of the demos that sandstorm, they're fairly impressive. In thinking about these different meteorological or weather extremes in the different biomes, I'm curious, did you consult with a meteorologist? Was there a meteorologist that was a part of that 100 person team that helped you, or did you all just kind of do the research yourself?
No, we did the research by ourselves. One of the advantages is that we study a lot of things all the time, a lot of papers and stuff like that, to improve ourselves and learn new techniques. So we found a lot of there's a lot of beautiful papers and interesting papers about the meteorology and how you know, you can model meteorology based on fluid dynamics and
sure.
And well,
that's
how topics.
That's exactly how we make weather forecasts. That it's a good opportunity as this is Weather Geeks, and I'll put on my meteorologist hat because you know we often get questions from the public. Well, how do you make a weather forecast? Do you just slide the weather from west to east, or you guess, and we're actually solving very complex Navier-Stokes and other equations,
fluid dynamics equations.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so
we actually, in the weather simulation, we have Navier-Stokes. It's only a 2D b-dimensional fluid dynamics, but it is actually a fluid dynamics with based on Kessler microphysics, that is the first model.
Oh, sure, yeah, so that you're representing the microphysics. So, you're getting just for those that are listening, that they're getting into some real detailed physics that are included in the prediction.
I'm not an expert at all, but it was fascinating to. I always love meteorology and love clouds, so it was fascinating to listen, to read more and understand more about this, and try to. Of course, we have many different constraints. Because, for example, we don't have like many machines. You have like very complex machine that can, you know, very powerful. We have like 0.001 seconds to calculate a frame for the weather. So we need to, of course, idealize and simplify a lot of things. So it's kind of, you start with a basic idea of how the fluid dynamics work, and you have a working fluid dynamics with, you know, with these equations, but then you need to find some idealization and simplifications. Like, for example, there's no temperature involved because it was too much for the consoles.
You're explaining exactly what we do in meteorology as well. We just call it parameterization. We can't represent every process in the model, so some of those processes get parameterized or simplified. So very much because of computing restraints and whatnot. So this is fascinating to me as a meteorologist because as video game designers, you're having to think about some of the same types of things we do to predict the weather, but from a different perspective.
Yeah.
I want to kind of shift now, and you advertise Just Cause 4 and many of your other titles for that matter as sandbox games. Talk to us about what a sandbox game is and how the physics are key to this type of gameplay.
Right. So sandbox means you can, so not only it's open world, but you play with whatever you find. So it's also like we're destruction centric. So supposed to blow up everything, and it's fun to do so. And Rico has a grappling hook, so he can manipulate his environment, so not only traverse the space very fast, but I guess like a toddler in a sandbox, but he can also just manipulate the objects that are around him and tether them together. And he has balloons now that can lift very heavy objects and tether them together. And he has boosters that can exert a force and make them spin or propulse them in the air and make them fly and attach them together. So there's really no limit to the creativity that the player can explore and the things that they can do. Actually, we design the game purposefully in that sense, and we're very excited when it comes out because we're just wondering what are they gonna come up with, and it's a lot of times it's things that we never even imagined or even designed, and it's out there and it goes viral on YouTube, and they have fun with it, and that's the whole point. That's the sandbox.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. We're experts in ecologically friendly lab-grown diamonds. Mention code RADIO10 for 10% off. That's cleanorigin.com, online or one of our retail stores.
And welcome back to the Weather Geeks podcast. I'm talking with Gabriel Sassone and Jacques Kerner, and they are with Avalanche Studios, and we're talking about the Just Cause 4 game. It's a sandbox game where weather is not just a part of the game, it's a central character. Is this the first time that weather has played such a role as a main character in a game from your perspective?
Yes,
it is
definitely in the Just Cause 4. In the Just Cause franchise, and I don't think there is a full scale tornado, for instance, that you can interact with and fly around, and that destroys the environment, and you can even guide and control or stop in some ways. And it's a fully physical simulation that you can interact with. It's never been done, so we're very proud.
Yeah, no, it's impressive. And WeatherGeeks listeners, make sure you take a chance, opportunity to look at this. I mean, I would caution that there perhaps, if you have young kids, I mean, you perhaps need to decide whether, are there elements there that you would recommend for certain levels or whatnot, or is the, from your perspective as the designers of the game in terms of the material in the game?
I think it's a PG-13.
It's rated game. PG-13. So just make sure your listeners that you consider that rating when you consider whether to allow your child to play the game. I want to come back to both of you personally. I detect slight accents in both of you. So I'd like for you to tell us where you're from. And based on where you're from, have you experienced, what is the most extreme type of weather you've experienced in your lifetime, perhaps even growing up or where you've lived?
Well, so I am Gabriel, and I'm from a small town near Rome in Italy. I was lucky enough to almost never had any extreme weather, especially compared to American weather. Probably the most extreme was some earthquakes when I was back in California, or some not even tornado, like some small like water.
The water spouts is what we would likely call them.
Yes, but on the distance. So I'm very lucky. I never had to cope with anything. Even though in the last years in back home we had like a tornado actually.
Yeah, no, there's some tornadoes, and there's actually an interesting weather phenomena that happens there in the Mediterranean. They're called metacanes, and they're these hurricane-like storms that they look like hurricanes, but they are actually very different in some ways from the tropical systems that we call hurricanes. I actually recently wrote something about metacanes in Forbes. There was one earlier in 2018. What about you, Jacques?
Yeah, so it's, I think the Italians say like, well, we like our snow on our mountains, and that's about it. And in France, I grew up in Paris, and it's called Bassin Parisien. It's a basin, so it's a little... it's lower than the rest, so really it's very stable in there. It doesn't the temperature doesn't go much. It doesn't vary much or very slowly from day to day. So it's not extreme at all. Then I moved to New York City. I moved to Vancouver, and Vancouver is also I don't know if you look at the weather forecast, it's in degrees Celsius there. So you'll have like, I don't know, if you look days after, there'll be 12, 12, 12, 12, 11, 11,
that's
11,
right,
10.
That's right.
You know, it's very, and then when I got to New York City and started working for Avalanche, it's really the difference between, it is extreme to me, it's extreme weather. The difference between summer and winter is astounding. It's much bigger than what I knew. And we had Sandy.
Oh, yes. Really, so you lived through Sandy.
We had to shut down the whole studio for a week or two. Like, I think it was a week or two. It actually really affected the development of Just Cause 3 at the time.
Well, in what way? Just because you had to shut down. Did you have to shut down because there was physical damage, or just because people couldn't get in or to work?
Right, so,
or...
The power was out in all of Lower Manhattan, and this is where the studio is. It was in Soho, and just the power went out for I think it was more than a week.
Yes,
so I lived in Brooklyn, and I there was no, you couldn't go on a subway to work. So and if you went to work, nothing would turn on. Like, so there was a complete power outage for days and days. So, but this was for Just Cause 3.
Yeah, not right. Now we're talking weather and video games with Gabriel Sasson and Jacques Kerner of Avalanche Studios. I want to circle back, because I'm talking about Just Cause 4 and the amazing weather representation within the game. Something that makes this happen is what you call the Apex engine. Give us a brief history of the Apex engine and why it's so important to this particular game's development.
Right. So the Apex engine is our internal engine that we developed at Avalanche, that we've developed over the years. This time we had really a full refactor of the engine. And extreme weather was part of the features that we added to the engine to make it possible to create this much mayhem and with current consoles generations. And it's been in development for years and years now, but the latest version was has undergone significant development to be able to shoulder the type of destruction and extreme weather in Just Cause 4.
Yeah, and speaking of the extreme weather, I mean, you mentioned the sandstorms, tundras, tornadoes, and whatnot. Was there a phenomena that was particularly difficult to recreate, more difficult than perhaps another to recreate within the game of the different types of weather?
Yes. So for sure,
resounding yes there.
The tornado was the most difficult and involved the most amount of people. So I joke sometimes that like not only the tornado sucks everything around it, but it also sucked a lot of developers that were not committed into a more important feature. And it was astounding. It's really a set piece, and it deserved to the treatment that it had. And it's really but. There was a lot about it that stretched the limitations of the hardware and development and figuring out. First, it's huge. It's a kilometer, at least a kilometer high.
Yeah,
we actually made it narrower than a real tornado in terms of the wind field.
Sure.
It is more extreme in terms of the winds generated. I think it's
So what is your tornado rated on the EF scale? You know, here we rate the scale based on the enhanced Fujita scale. Did you consider what type of rating your tornadoes would have?
Yeah. So on the enhanced Fujita scale, it would be EF 5 plus.
Okay.
Extreme.
Or EF 6.
Well, that would explain why it's picking up large airplanes that I saw when I watched some of the games.
Right. The maximum speed is 320 miles per hour of the wind, and I think the maximum speed that's been recorded on Earth is 305 miles per hour in Oklahoma. So, and that led Hamish to, which is one of our senior designers, to announce that Just Cause 4 takes the reality and turns it up to 11.
That's right.
So
that's
a little bit. It's tighter than a real tornado, but it's more extreme in wind, because we wanted to for the spectacle, and we also wanted to make sure that we would pick up all the objects and it would be powerful enough to.
I want to make sure that I'm for Weather Geeks listeners to understand we're talking about gameplay here, and in reality, tornadoes are very serious, dangerous, life altering storms. So I want to make sure the listeners understand we're certainly not making light of the very tragic occurrences of tornadoes that we often see in society, but within the gameplay, from a scientific and game designer standpoint, there's a fascination within this game and how these tornadoes are developed. So make sure we understand that and caveat that as you're listening to this podcast.
Absolutely. This is fiction, entertainment. It's and doesn't make light of real events, but if you look at them and you're not impacted by them, they're beautiful things that happen in
phenomena happens.
Yeah,
things happen in nature, in our universe.
Absolutely. And we certainly we've done shows here on Weather Geeks podcast because there are people that will chase tornadoes here and get closer looks to understand the science and just the curiosity of them there. So I want to now talk about sort of something that you alluded to in one of your answers. I can't remember which one of you said this, but you were talking about the challenges in recreating some of these meteorological phenomena within the game. What can you take this to another level? Can you take the physics of a sandbox game to the next level? What's out there that's next, that if you had unlimited resources or computing capability, how could you take this to the next level in Just Cause 5?
Yes, it's there's always limitations, and we very gracefully go around them and make sure that we design our world in ways that are going to be is going to look like everything that could possibly happen happens. But of course, it's never exactly the case. So there's always we can have more density of objects. We could destroy buildings or the scenery itself, go to water spouts and there's lots and lots of things, especially in rendering. I think the rendering can go much further in terms of the amount of particles, the amount of the effects in the air.
Yeah, right. Because right now we have the different biomes that are not exactly connected. So when you enter a biome, you know, the extreme weather of that biome is triggered and everything. The physics and the rendering is all tuned for that. So probably for a Just Cause 5, something to work towards would be to have a more holistic and interconnected biomes and phenomena, because lightning, for example, can happen. We don't have like volcanoes or so, for example, lightning can happen with very big fires or volcano phenomena. So there can be tornadoes that are in water too, and we don't have that. So there's still, we can mix and let all the biomes and all the phenomena be more connected, I believe.
Yeah, I was one of the things when I was watching a demo and I was thinking about the dust storms, one of the more dramatic weather phenomena is a word derived from the Arabic language called the haboob, H-A-B-O-O-B. Yeah. And perhaps you're familiar with those, but
yes.
They're very dramatic as they're coming across the southwestern U.S. into places like Phoenix, Arizona. And I wondered that if in your, I didn't see the entire demo, but I wondered if you actually had the capacity or capability to create that sort of large, it's really a density current sort of moving along there as a density current, this phenomena, or if you just right now have a sort of a massive dust storm, dust blowing everywhere type presentation.
Yeah, so we know of the haboob, and because it was one of the most extreme sandstorm, and we have this desert biome, we definitely wanted to include something like that. We do have a sandstorm; it's huge. Actually, the wind field in it that we use was fairly simple. It's a linear wind, but it was is stronger than a real one. It's about 85 miles per hour.
Yes.
In our game versus, like, I think they're around 65 miles per hour in reality.
Yes.
Look, but we have also some, from a visual perspective, we have some, one of our artists, Fred Hooper, that was in the military and it was in some desert. So he has some firsthand experiences of how the visibility was and what happened inside. And luckily, again, I have no experience about that. But so we can use some personal experiences also to try to give you the feeling about it. And that helped a lot in to try to recreate the effect in a realistic way.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
And we are back on the Weather Geeks podcast. I'm Dr. Marshall Shepard, and I'm speaking with Senior Rendering and Engine Programmer Gabriel Sasson and Senior Software Engineer Jacques Kerner. They're with Avalanche Studios, and we are talking about weather and video games. Very fascinating, just to look at sort of the visual presentation within this particular video game and the meteorology involved. That's what I'm really interested in. But I want to talk about the gameplay right now. Tell us what a typical evening is like in Just Cause 4, if you're someone's jumping on to play the game. Just give us a sense of the storyline or what's going on.
Right. So the main character of Just Cause 4 is Rico Rodriguez. He's a super agent, part of a secret branch of the CIA called the Agency. And in Just Cause 4, he's investigating the death of his father. And he learns somehow that his father was involved in secret weather manipulation research, and that brings him to the fictional South American country of Solis, and that brings him to this island, and he investigates this, and he's involved in the agency is in charge of overthrowing evil dictatorships, And this island is ruled by a dictatorship, so it's a perfect match. So he takes on the Black Hand, which is a private army that's trained by the Espinosas that are ruling the island. And they're sort of like if it was ancient Greece, it would be the equivalent of Sparta. Specialized in training and selling military equipment that they advertise as an instrument of peace. But so he takes the Black Hand on and enlists the population and rebels to fight against them. And he's going to find out that the extreme weather event that are plaguing the island are in fact not completely natural.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and the take on this is that we wanted to make sure that you can both follow the storyline, so you can play and explore every different biome and try to understand how they are created and how to disable them, so the weather will be more standard normal weather instead of this extreme on a small area like this. So you can either follow the storyline, or as being an open world sandbox game, you can roam around and enjoy and interact also with this kind of extreme weathers and biomes that are very different from both visually and physically. So you can, from a physical perspective, so you can also explore that and make many times your own gameplay by trying to go in some areas that are like restricted, and you can try to use some of your weapons and mechanics, game mechanics, to really explore more. It's a lot about exploration. We also have an amazing audio department. So in a night, you can choose if you want to follow the storyline, or you can explore areas that you would normally not do, and you need to use your brain and to really find how to go around. So
what separates Just Cause 4 from its predecessors in the franchise?
I would say extreme weather.
Okay.
It's really a game changer. It's something that it touched every aspect of the game since the beginning. We developed the technology around that. Everyone did an amazing job in try to give the best experience about that. But it really changes, because Rico is really one of the main points in the most important aspect of Just Cause is traversal. And in traversal, we use the wind. And in Just Cause 4, you have like wind that can be tied to the biomes and to the environment and to the extreme weather itself. So you need to think in a different way. So Just Cause 3 was more about having like cities and liberating cities. In Just Cause 4, it's more about you need to use your environment at your own advantage and liberate the island of Solis.
Yeah, and we also introduced boosters that allow you to push or levitate objects and or make them fly. I mean, and also balloons that you can they can lift them in a more controlled manner, in addition to the grappling hook. So, in Just Cause, Rico Rodriguez can traverse the space by grappling onto something and tethering to it very quickly. He has a parachute, and he has a wingsuit, and all of those are were really useful before, but now he can use the wind current to traverse the space. So for instance, we used we also introduced rivers. So we have river. He can take a boat and be pushed along the river, and to be able to traverse the space back, we created wind tunnels above the canyon that the river has been digging to go back to the mountain. So we've used wind to really improve how much you can how well you can traverse and explore the space.
I saw the very interesting sort of uses of wind, representation of wind flow and dynamics. As I'm, you know, as a main character, he gets around a lot with this sort of wingsuit, or I'm not exactly sure what you call it, but clearly there's a
wingsuit.
Role for wingsuit. Is that the correct terminology? Okay.
Yeah, perfect.
What about, you as designers or engineers on the project, is there something about the physics that each of you have that's just kind of a favorite for you?
I think I worked a lot on the Torino. Well, actually, I can say like the first problem that we had to solve was that as soon as we said okay, we weren't going to introduce wind, we had to make sure that all the objects in the world need to be able to respond to the wind in some sort of realistic fashion. So, and that was a little problem that I'm glad we solved, and we solved in a way that we didn't need to have an army of content artists to do much. We used the physical shape of each object so when we build the game, we put any single of these objects in a virtual wind tunnel, and we subject them to a wind going in different directions, and we calculated with a very simplified model the forces and the torques that are applied on these objects, and we compute this, and we store this into a little aerodynamic characteristic map for each of these objects. And this was done, so we solved the problem. Nobody had to do any additional work in terms of the content creation, because we already had the physical shape. And then voila, all of a sudden we had all objects in the world were able to respond to wind in a somewhat realistic fashion, taking not only their size but also their shape into account. And and then all we had to do after that was to introduce wind volumes with different distributions. So we have a different distribution of wind for each of our extreme weather events within a certain volume, and all the objects that are in those volumes just react in a somewhat realistic manner. And I think that that's my favorite, personally, because we solved it in an elegant way where we didn't have to do much more work. Everything, we used the content that we already had.
Yes. What about you?
Personally, it's a good question, because I loved both. Working on the Torino was really fascinating from a visual perspective, especially because there was no reference at all in around. But also, I loved the very simplified weather simulation too, because it really needed me to study a lot about weather simulation and really appreciate the work, because I love weather. I always loved clouds since I was a kid, and always being into weather. I always wonder how the computer could actually make this very precise simulation right now. And so even though I don't have all my head around that, I still could have a glimpse of what is the amazing job of meteorologists and how also they improve life, because many times you can, especially here in New York, you have a snowstorm and you know even just a day before and you can prep. But I cannot really tell you the favorite. The lightning too was really fascinating mm-hmm. topic, especially because we had an interesting problem that I studied how the lightning works and the physics of lightning, how it's formed. And then when we realized that and we have a proper rendering of that, we were finding ourselves like being under a lightning, and it was like, how does a lightning look from beyond? But there's no footage, because normally
just below, yeah.
They're so fast. So we're like, probably looks like this, because it's there's no real like video footage of lightning strikes and you're very close and you're not, you know.
And did you add the streamers also?
That's right.
Yeah, we had also
the anticipation.
Yes, there was Amish suggestion also, like to add the streamers back. You know, because the lightning comes from a different in potential, so like a capacitor, and so there's still like the Earth is has a positive charge and tends to try to connect to the negative. So there's this, both the streamer are like small lightning coming from the ground and the object towards the sky, and then the lightning strikes and we'll know what happens.
Yeah,
it was fascinating.
Yeah. I just want to say that I feel like, as the former president of the American Meteorological Society, I need to give you guys some honorary meteorology degrees or something if I could, because I think that you all have thought carefully about the complex physics, thermodynamics, microphysics, dynamics that we think about as meteorologists. But I want to shift gears here because we're running short on time. It's been a fascinating discussion with Gabriel Sassone and Jacques Koerner. There is a real sort of movement towards real-time rendering, and the Weather Channel is doing something called immersive mixed reality in presenting the weather. Do you all feel that the types of things that you're doing in this these video games have a role in weather presentation and weather modeling, the types of things that the Weather Channel is really pioneering?
I think yes. I mean, it could help in improving or trying to find new solutions to the same problem. So because many times one of the best thing to solve a problem is to think in a different way. So if you think from a video games perspective, of course you need to, we put our passion and our energies and to try to recreate something that is believable, because realistic needs like, I don't know how many computers for how many years. So, but I definitely think that the more we know about these phenomena in different fields, the more we can find some equivalencies of some parallels and say, hey, you know, we can, for example, solving the Navier-Stokes equations is something that we do in rendering quite a lot of times. And in the river simulation, in the weather simulation itself, they all solve that. So maybe we can find new ways of using the hardware, because you will use the GPU, so it's the part that handles in a computer that handles the visuals, and we can use that that is much better on having doing mathematical calculation than the CPU. And so, for example, we use that, and in my case, I saw like 15 times faster calculation compared to using the CPU. So that's definitely some exchange of information that we can do and probably improve the simulation.
Yeah, go ahead.
It definitely has its role, because we are forced to be real time, and so we're going to cut corners to make it real time. But so it's not going to be as realistic, but we're going to get something, and that something, the tornado, the sandstorm that affects all these objects and in realistic settings, you can probably extract information from that, from the experience, and that's something that we're really forced to do, and that I think they can add.
Yeah, well, and I wonder about this because, you know, when the Weather Channel or a local TV station is trying to show a tornado on a two-dimensional screen, TV screen or computer screen, by looking at a radar signature that may indicate a tornado is on the ground, if you will, and that's redundant because that's what tornado is defined as, a storm funnel on the ground. But would a future TV presentation on a Weather Channel, I mean, I guess similar to what they're doing with the immersed mixed reality, include rather than a debris ball or a flat two-dimensional signature, a three-dimensional tornado like you're showing in the game? Do you see a future for that?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Totally. I was just thinking when you were talking about they were showing about the heavy rainfall and they were showing like some mixed reality with like to show you how tall would be the water, and then you really realize, oh, maybe I should leave, you know, after like like in Florida and whatever, all this these kind of like weather situations in which, you know, you don't realize how big something is, and then you can really make up your mind. So having a tornado visualized, it could really be helpful to know even just the trajectory and trying to understand, like, we're taking the buildings in 3D, maybe from Google Maps, and you can try to understand, you know, prepare the people and the persons on a, you know, on where the path will be. So it could be really beneficial, I think.
Gentlemen, that is where we're going to have to end it. Gabriel and Jacques, thank you both for joining us on the Weather Geeks podcast.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you.